The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with verse 16.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed on the third day, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, then let them deny themselves. Take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of our Lord. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, have you seen the Barbie movie?
No.
Now, that's something I never thought I would ask in a sermon. Anyway, have you seen it? If you haven't, don't worry, I'm not really going to ruin anything. I saw it, and I found parts of it fun, and other parts really made me think. Believe it or not, the Barbie movie made me think. You see, in the movie, there's essentially two worlds, or two realms, Barbie Land and the real world. Typically, these two worlds never intersect. But something happens in the movie that causes a tear in the vortex, so to speak, between these two worlds. And it allows Barbie and Ken to enter the real world and people from the real world to travel to Barbie Land. Both places, Barbie Land and the real world, did things very differently. Barbie Land was run by the mini Barbies, and the Kens were just accessories and had no true power. When Barbie and Ken traveled to the real world to fix the tear in the vortex, they realized that things were very different in the real world. When Ken and Barbie traveled to this different realm and the people from the real world traveled to Barbie Land, they not only learn how things are run differently, but they begin to learn things about themselves. And this transformation happens throughout the movie, but this transformation helps them to make some changes in their own lives and in their separate worlds by the end of the movie. Isn't this how it is in our own lives? I mean, when we step out of our little bubble, when we take time to listen and to learn from people who are different from us, when we allow ourselves to be challenged, we can learn about ourselves, but we are all ultimately changed by doing it. It might be very uncomfortable at times to try to see things from another perspective, but in the end, what we learn and how we and others are changed is a gift. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to the Philippines, and I know I've talked about this before, but there's another portion of that I'd like to share. It was an extended mission trip kind of thing. There were five of us in our 20s who were sent to Taiwan and the Philippines for 5 months to travel, learn, and share the gospel through music, testimony, and relationship building. Often, when we were in the Philippines, when we had a down day, that was a day where we didn't have to present a program or work in a school or lead a retreat or workshop, several of the local pastors would take us on some sightseeing outings so we would get to see the country through the eyes of people who live there. One of the days, the pastors arrived to pick us up and told us that the outing on that day was going to be very different. You see, we were staying in Manila, the capital, and often we would go out and visit smaller towns and villages when we had one of these days. But on that day, they said they wanted to open our eyes to the reality of how bad poverty could get in that place. Up until this point, we had seen people who had relatively nothing, but on this particular day, we were going to see the worst of the worst. You see, these pastors drove us to the center of the city, to a street that ran along a small portion of the river. They walked us to this section of the river where there were houses. And I'm going to put that in quotations because they weren't houses as we would speak. But they were these houses that were built out over the river. So they would attach something to the side of the road and they would build out over the river. And the drop would be several stories into the river. They were made of cardboard, metal, fabric, whatever could be found. The houses were built over the river because were allowed to stay there. They could squat there because they weren't actually taking up any property. And this whole multiple city blocks were these houses built out over the river. As we stood there, we could see families huddled together in these small structures that could at any minute fall into the river. We watched as trash and other waste were dumped directly into the river from the boxes. We had the opportunity to chat with a few of the people who lived there and listen to their stories, and it was heart-wrenching. But I can tell you, on that day, in that moment, as I entered that reality, I was forever changed. In our gospel lesson today, Peter was faced with a new reality. You see, Peter was a faithful Jewish man. He had more than likely been raised waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And Peter's idea of the Messiah was much like many of the faithful people. They were waiting for a Messiah who would come in and overthrow the Roman occupation, would kick those people out of their country, and restore Israel back to power. It's important to remember this as we look at Peter from our reading today. This idea that Peter has of the Messiah. Because that's what he's probably still hoping for. So in last week's gospel, we heard as Peter confessed that Jesus was Messiah. And that led us into our reading today. So after that confession, Jesus begins sharing with his disciples what's going to happen. How he must go to Jerusalem, how he must undergo great suffering, how he will be killed and on the third day be raised again. Well, this doesn't align with Peter's idea of what the Messiah should be. The Messiah should not have to suffer, should not have to die. The Messiah is supposed to take over the government. So he takes Jesus aside and says, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." And as we know, Jesus doesn't like what Peter has to say. He turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are a stumbling block to me." Here's where things get a little confusing, because Jesus goes on to tell his disciples what it does mean to follow him. He says, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." What does that mean? What does it mean for us to take up our cross and follow Jesus? For Peter and probably the other disciples, Peter was just often the outspoken one. This was something new to them. This was a new reality. The Messiah they had been taught would restore Israel to power, would get rid of the Romans. What Jesus is saying does not go along with that. Jesus is saying, in order to participate in his reality, to be a part of the kingdom of God, you have to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. But again, what does that mean? Not just for the disciples, but for us. I kept coming back to that question again and again and again this week. What does it mean to take up our cross? Does it mean that we stay in an abusive relationship? Does it mean just accepting the difficult and trying situations we might find ourselves in? We've all heard a person or two say, or maybe we've said it ourselves, "This is just my cross to bear," when we're facing some tough or unexplainable situation. And it's okay to say that if that helps you get through it, but we don't need to go looking for or staying in difficult situations so that we feel like we're good disciples. I think for us to fully understand what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus, we need to look at our Romans reading. In this reading from Romans 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, and contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers." Paul continues on and talks about associating with the lowly and not repaying evil for evil and more. Any one of these things could be what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Because by doing these things, we are creating a new reality. A reality where the kingdom of God is present in our world. Often for us to do these things, we need to enter the reality of the person we are serving. We need to take our focus off of ourselves and look outside into the world. It's not always easy to do these things from a comfortable distance. And that's not always easy, but it's worth it. And it can be life-changing. I know Pastor Mark has talked about our training and our new way that we're interacting with our neighbors that come and visit us throughout the week. I had the opportunity to talk to a young man this week who was really struggling, really having a mental break, so to speak. But as I entered his reality, I just sat and listened to him and prayed for him silently as I listened. It wasn't easy. Because most of the time I was wondering, why does he think this? Why is this what he believes? Before we left and after, I asked him what ways that Trinity could help him in that moment, and he wanted some food and water. He said to me, "You know, I can read your mind." And I'm not telling you this to make fun of him by any means. And he said, "You know, I can read your mind." And I said, "Okay, well what am I thinking?" And he smiled and he said, "You're thinking you love me and you accept me." And that really struck me and changed me in that moment. Because what I would have normally done is I would have sat there with him for 5 or 10 minutes, tried to get him to get out of the building, and wondered what help we could possibly find for him. But I entered his reality that day, and it, again, changed me. So taking up our cross is not living this life as a martyr, but being willing to take the time to lay aside those things that distract us, the things that keep us from following the ways of Jesus, the things that keep us from living into the kingdom of God here and now. And when we lay aside those things, when our focus is clearer, we can see those things, those people around us who are hurting, those who are in need, those who are desperate just for someone to listen to them and more. I know it's not easy, but I believe it is what we are called to do as disciples of Christ. Jesus, we know, took up his cross for us. Now we are being asked to take up our cross for others. Amen.